Welcome to Humboldt Building Up. My name is Stephanie McGarry.
And I'm Andrew Goff. Yeah, this is the Lost Coast Outposts podcast light thing. We do it on Zoom because that's the way that people do everything these days. And it's fine. It's working out. We're dealing.
Fine.
It's just fine. Yeah. So if you're like me, you're looking out at this weird world we have had thrust upon us, and you're like, hey, how am I going to reinvent myself? Maybe I need to adopt a goat. Maybe I need to reread all the Boxcar Children books, or maybe I need to get something or multiple things pierced. Why not? So today on the Zoom, to explore that potential future decision, we have local body piercer and Senga tattoo co-owner, Jackie Silva. Let's see if we can get her in here and get Zoomy. Jackie.
Hi, hola. How are you?
You have a very stylish mask.
Oh, thank you. Right?
Yeah.
Yep. I feel like that's like the thing right now is like stylish masks. You know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Everyone's figuring out how to up their mask game, and I am way behind.
Really? Oh man. Yeah.
When people complain about wearing masks, I don't get it. You know, it's just a cool new accessory. Like it's another way to express yourself.
Seriously, yeah. Like I've seen some people rock some like bedazzled ones, and then you know, that sequins that you kind of brush across and it changes colors. Like I've seen that too. I've seen kids rocking like the superhero masks, and it's like, you know, like make the best out of it, people, you know, just have fun with it.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. It's like really awesome. Yeah. And I love what you guys are doing with Humboldt Holding Up. It's awesome to hear kind of what everybody's going through. Cause at the end of the day, we're kind of all just trying to get through this, you know, it's just crazy right now.
So joining us today is Jackie Silva, and a body piercer and co-owner of Sangha Tattoo. I hope I'm saying that correctly.
Yes, yeah, Sangha, right. Sangha, yes. Yeah, you're Sangha good, Tattoo, you got it.
Sangha Tattoo Studio in Eureka. Yes. So everyone's lives are a little weird right now. You and Goff were emailing a little bit back and forth, and you had mentioned that you had several appointments today. So
yes. Well,
yeah,
it's crazy because, you know, we're open. I mean, we've officially been open for 2 months now. We just hit 2 months on the 26th. And things are a little different now when you come in wanting these services, whether it's a tattoo or a piercing. Everything is by appointment only, even consultations, even wanting to talk to an artist, even wanting to come in to purchase jewelry, you know, everything is by appointment only. And because of that, and we're also limiting how many appointments we take a day to minimize our person-to-person exposure. So, you know, things get booked up really fast. And, you know, it's not the way it was before COVID. You know, it's not like you can come in and just talk to someone, look at portfolios. Things are much different now.
How many appointments do you have like today?
Well, me, I book no more than 4 people a day. What I try to do is give each appointment at least a half hour like interval, like a little half hour in between each person. Like an appointment that would normally take half an hour, I stretch to an hour so I can properly make sure that my area is prepped before the person comes in, so I can thoroughly go over the paperwork that they need to fill out. So that I can actually take my time doing the procedure so that I can make sure that every single step has so much attention to detail, because we're working with bloodborne pathogens. We also now have to worry about COVID. You know, we don't know where our clients have been, so we need to make sure that we take precautions to not just protect ourselves, but to protect them as well. So things take a little longer than they did before. And then breaking down our setup after each appointment takes a little bit longer as well, because everything's what we refer to as more enhanced, you know, enhanced cleaning, enhanced disinfecting. And you don't want to rush that. You want to make sure you get every single little piece that you need to wipe down every surface, you know, as much as possible. So, but because we are person to person, especially with me as a body piercer, I'm like literally in people's space. You know, I want to minimize how much exposure I put myself through every day. Yeah. So, yeah.
So we want to talk a little bit about the hurdles we're sure you've had to jump to in order to do piercings and tattoos in the COVID era. But something we like to do here is to get people's humble stories. So to just kind of introduce you. So if you wouldn't mind sharing, like, where did you grow up and how did you end up on this island Humboldt?
So, you know, I actually got into HSU right after high school, and I had never been up here before until the day I moved into my dorm. And I don't know, something, I was drawn to this place. I had never been here, but I heard about Arcata and I was like, cool, I'm going to check it out. And I moved up here and I've been here since 2006 and I love it up here. It is so awesome. Yeah. So that's what brought me up here. However, how I got into this industry is a little different. You know, I went to school to major in dance and then I took some time off from school and then I was offered to work here as a, you know, shop girl receptionist when it opened up 9 years ago as Old Growth Tattoo. And my business partner, Randy Meyer, was an apprentice at that time as well. So we both started here, you know, 9 years ago, and now we're both the co-owners of this establishment. So it's really, really awesome. Like, we started from the bottom, worked our way up, and now this is our child. So.
And so how long have you owned Senga or co-owned Senga?
We just hit 3 years now as Senga. Okay.
Yeah. And so people who I've talked to who are body piercers, I feel like they often describe it in almost like religious language. Like, there's something about the ritual of it. Is that you?
Yes.
Is it, what draw you into this? How do you see your role?
So for me, I mean, at first it was like when I was, you know, in college, you know, it was just like, oh, it's cool to just get this thing. But then over time it became something so much more. There was a bit more of like a healing spiritualistic aspect to it. I started to put my intention into each piece that I wanted to put on my body. And there was something very healing about that. Also just, you know, really being in the moment when you're getting a piercing. But the biggest thing, the intention behind getting it, what you want to get out of that experience. And so that's what I try to share with my clients as well, because it's not, you know, there's a certain stigma that's been associated with like tattoos or piercings for years. And it's like, hey, it's actually something bigger and better, you know, it can be something so much more than what you see on TV or what have you. So,
I mean, you feel like in recent years, you talk about a stigma attached to piercings. You feel like in recent years that has fallen away somewhat?
Definitely, Oh, definitely, yeah. And I mean, like, when I was a teenager, there was no way that my mom would ever let me do any sort of, like, if I wanted to ornate my body in any sort of way, there was no way I was allowed to do that. But I have teenagers coming in with their parents that are just like, yeah, like, you know, I really support my kid or my teen doing this, you know, and this is really going to help them. Or I've definitely have had moms bring their, you know, daughters in that are going through a really rough time and mental health wise. And it's like, hey, my daughter really wants to get this to kind of help her get through this really tough time. And if I can provide that space and that service, then hell yeah, I'm totally on board.
So I feel like, you know, throughout the pandemic and as the state and county orders were closing and reopening and reclosing.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Reopening businesses has shifted.
Yes.
Tattoo and piercing shops are just, I feel like a business that I just haven't heard much about. And I feel like maybe it's just because you're in this really specific sort of
category phase, I guess, business phase.
You almost, you know, do these medical procedures and, you know, what have what have you had to go through to reopen and what are there specific criteria, you know, things that are really specific to this line of work? What has that process looked like for you? I imagine there's some inherent risk involved already,
yes,
you know, in this work, and then with the pandemic, you know,
with COVID, yeah. Well, yeah, like I said, you know, we put ourselves through risk of bloodborne pathogen exposure, and wearing PPE, you know, such as gloves, aprons, masks. That has always been part of our practice for a very long time. However, those items were used as needed. So, you know, you know, part of California's AB 300, what we, our health code, we have to wear gloves, we have to wear aprons. The mask was optional. For me as a piercer, I actually, the wearing the mask was always a part of my procedure. I just did it for the piercing part itself, not for like the whole thing. But right. Now we come in and yeah, we have to wear a mask when we come into the building, you know, at all times, because that's what it says in the state guidelines. Masks must be worn at all times. Even if you're in here by yourself, you got to wear your mask. But just the preparation for the reopen, getting back to that part, it was a lot of work. You know, we already had our infection prevention control plan in place, because that's what we have to have every year anyways, and it's part of our health code. But creating something that is catered to now COVID as well, there was a lot of research that had to be done. So I was constantly looking at the CDC website, you know, the WHO website. You know, you guys were great at sharing information and keeping the community updated. I mean, I was relying on your guys' information so much also to kind of help us prepare for a reopen, you know, when they started to slowly reopen like different phases, different businesses and stuff. So the other thing is that the industry is just awesome. They were on top of it. There's a nonprofit called Tattooing Beyond COVID, and it's a nonprofit organization that had as much information out there that was catered to the tattoo industry. The Association of Professional Piercers, that's one that's catered to body piercing, and they provided an abundance of information as well. Everything from like, you know, COVID consent forms to a preparedness plan, cleaning and disinfecting recommendations and protocols, you know, and that really helped get us prepared for this reopen, especially for submitting our plan to the county to be able to reopen. You know, and I typed up a 14-page health, you know, safety protocol packet and training, you know, that I put together, and, you know, had everybody come in, and we did a full-on training like right before we opened. But basically everything that was in my training packet is pretty much everything I submitted to the county. So I try to go as above and beyond as possible to make sure we're prepared. Everyone here is prepared and everything, but it was very overwhelming. The other big hurdle we had to get over was actually being able to get supplies that we needed. A lot of suppliers were sold out, or the turnaround time was usually like what was 2 days was now 2 weeks. And so literally just trying to plan ahead as much as possible, you know, to make this reopen happen. And also ordering plexi barriers. Oh my gosh. Trying to get plexi barriers was a mission. Oh my gosh. But
how's your plexi barrier game? Strong plexi barrier?
We have them in between the stations, you know, yeah. And we have a sneeze guard at the front desk too, just in case. So, I mean, yeah. Even trying to get things like air purifiers were just a mission as well. But we literally were just trying to do everything that we could to make this reopen happen. It literally took everybody pitching in, because the other thing is financially, we took a huge financial hardship. I even applied for that, you know, economic injury disaster loan. And unfortunately we got denied for that. So it was literally, it was all of us just pitching in, trying to make this reopen happen, trying to pitch in to cover our bills, you know, so that we could make this reopen happen. And it literally took everybody helping for us to be where we're at today. So we have a really awesome crew. Everybody did their part. They chipped in, and here we are today. So,
So these are historic times we're living through right now. And I know that oftentimes people will get tattoos and maybe other body modifications to mark significant points in their lives. Uh-huh. Like, have you had clients come in and, you know, say like, I want to get a tattoo, or I want to get, a piercing to just kind of commemorate this weird, insane thing we're all experiencing together? Is like, is that reflected at all in people's choices, or?
Not that specifically. Well, I mean, people are coming in and getting stuff because they're like, I need to get something or I'm going to go crazy, you know?
Yeah,
and they're
okay.
Like, you know, people want to get either or what we've been seeing a lot of is a lot of folks have been that have lost loved ones, you know, recently and couldn't spend time with them, are getting a lot of memorial tattoos to commemorate their loved ones that they lost and couldn't be with. You know, we're getting folks that, again, are struggling, either mental health or what have you, just struggling in life in general. And I know for me, as a piercer, I've been doing discounted rates on a lot of my services because I understand the financial hardship that people are going through. And if I can even do just a simple little cartilage piercing on someone to help them get through this difficult time, then I'm totally all about it. You know, it's just, it's not about making the money. It's about like being there for the community when they need our help, you know, even if it's just a simple little tiny piece or a little tattoo. I mean, we're just here to support the community as best as we can.
Why do you think people associate that with, or like getting, you know, getting a small piercing, like with their mental health? It's a type of self-improvement in
there's, self-empowerment, self-improvement, you know, and again, it's about the intention and what that person specifically wants to get out of that. It could be a form of release as well, like letting something go that was kind of holding them back, you know, and same thing with tattoos as well. You know, we've had folks that are going through a really difficult time in life and are getting a tattoo just to kind of escape from, you know, what's going on in their life and have been emotional during their sessions as well. And it's all about us holding that space for that person so they can release, so they can let go. What we refer to as like, you know, tattoo or piercing therapy, you know, you know, but it's just, that's what we're trying to do here, you know, is hold that space for people that need it the most. So
I definitely understand, you know, the release and the positive intentions behind piercing and tattoos, but you know, maybe less so piercings, but especially tattoos are a somewhat permanent decision.
Totally. You know,
if you ever find yourself actually trying to maybe talk somebody out of a choice they're going to make, or maybe like giving them a minute.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to, but like when you say the intention behind it, I just wonder how do you find that balance between somebody making a choice like this when they're maybe not in a great headspace. If it's going to be beneficial to them, or if maybe it might end up being something that they would regret, like how do you talk to people?
So we do have, you know, kind of morals about certain tattoos. Like if we get someone that wants to get something on their face and they don't have tattoos anywhere else, we try to talk them out of it. Especially if it's like a 19-year-old, you know, that's just kind of starting their life out and they have no tattoos, but they want to get something because some like artist has it or something, you know, we're like, hey, so, you know, we're not comfortable doing this. I'm sorry. The other one that we try, that I know the artists are really try to be aware of, are names of significant others is another big one.
Like, you know, boyfriend you just broke up with kind of thing.
We try to say, hey, why not do something a bit more personal to, you know, for this person, you know, blah, blah, because a lot of times, and this is just kind of funny, and this has been a thing, like, we'll get a couple come in, oh, we just got engaged, we want to get our names tattooed on us, and then we'll see them in here a few months later, I got to get this covered up, we're not together anymore, so it's like, well, hey, we tried to tell you it wasn't a great idea, but hey, guess what, we can help you cover this up, no worries. exactly.
Definitely have some friends that have done a bit of that, so that's part of why.
Yeah. So that's especially if someone wants to get someone's name like across their throat, we're like, hey, so let's have a conversation about this.
So it occurs to me that a lot of people in the community might know you under a different name. For years you performed in local burlesque troupes under the name Ophelia Cox. And something that's always amazed me about that community, I've no official statistics on this, but Humboldt has got to have the highest number of burlesque troupes per capita of anywhere in the world, I would imagine. Do you know people from that, or do you talk to people from that community these days? Is there any discussion of how to make burlesque happen in Humboldt post-COVID?
I've been on a hiatus for quite some time now, for a little while. But I have reached out to some of the, you know, girls from the troupe, from Vava Voom, and I know that they're working on trying to do like a virtual show. They're trying to work with a North Coast Repertory Theater to try to see about maybe working on a virtual show of some sort, but also how can they execute that by following social distancing protocols, and how can they be safe about this? And so I know it's something that is in the works. I don't know when that's going to happen, but you know, I know that a lot of people are trying to take this time to just kind of like work on some acts and, you know, costume pieces and whatnot. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. And then so, something else I wanted to bring up with you, which I imagine you're aware of, is that the building that, Senga Tattoo is in is something of a sacred space for a certain demographic of humble people. I'm a little bit too young to have experienced it in its heyday, but I can still remember being really young and driving by Sharky's Arcade.
Sharky's?
and screaming that I wanted to go there. I think it probably closed in the late 90s, but have people shared their love of Sharky's Arcade
with you? They have. Yep. We do hear about that. You know, we hear about the Joke House that used to be right next door as well.
I've heard of that too. Yeah,
and what's crazy is, okay, I mean, Sharky's closed years ago, but we were having some, okay, this might be a little too much information, but we had some problems with our customer restroom. The toilet was giving us some problems, and so we had to get a snake in there to see what was going on, and I kid you not, a bunch of Sharky's coins came coming out of there.
Sharky's tokens! Yes!
Sharky's token came out of the toilet, and I was like, and I mean, it was covered in what you can imagine. It was pretty gnarly, but it was so funny to see a bunch of Sharky's coins coming out of the toilet after it's been closed. I was like, how did that stay in there for so long?
Yeah, why were they down there in the first place?
I know.
I was going to say, I can't tell you how upsetting that is to me because Sharky's tokens were gold.
They're gold. To me.
The most valuable thing. It's like finding hundreds of dollars worth of money in there.
just before we got on the Zoom, I was Googling. I was like, oh yeah, Sharky's Arcade. And I was Googling. I found this amazing video from the 80s of somebody just doing just a walkthrough of Sharky's Arcade that I will send to you because it's just.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That'd be awesome.
It is a time warp.
I know. I've always been curious to know what it looked like in here when it was the arcade. I mean, like, we have the little outlets where obviously, like, the machines were, you know, on the floor. You can see where those outlets were and where they were probably at. But it's just like, you know, when we took over here when it was old growth, I mean, it was a different setup and everything's a lot more open now. And we've kept it like that, you know, during, like, now that we've taken over as Senga, like, we just kind of maintained it like that. Everything's open. And I'm like, I just wish I could see what it looked like back then because I bet it was so different.
the video that I watched today of it is much sadder than my childhood memories of it.
Oh, okay.
Or just not sad, but just like less flashy, less like.
Less flashy, yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't do it justice, basically.
It was Disneyland equivalent in my brain when I was 4 or 5. Yeah.
Totally. I'm an Arcata kid, so I was a Tiffany's kid.
Yeah, Tiffany's was Tiffany's? The Arcata arcade. Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
Nice.
I digress. Yeah.
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 Well, we were talking a little bit before about, you know, getting tattoos and piercings and stuff and time and thinking about, you know, making that choice. I feel like I have to ask you, my colleague here, Goff, has virgin skin. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
No tattoos.
Oh, no tattoos? Who are you? You're a unicorn.
I know. Is that the term? Yeah.
You are, like, not a lot of people don't have tattoos these days. Like,
you're
a rare breed.
Unless you have a secret one that I don't know of.
I do not.
So I'm wondering, what would you recommend for Goff here? He's curious. What might he get pierced first?
Ooh, piercing. Okay. So during COVID, like, we're in the COVID era. So, you know, restrictions, we can't do anything in the nose and mouth area. The health department was like, hey, health department was like, nothing in the nose and mouth area.
Okay. We're narrowing it down. Okay, good.
Yeah. Everybody wants to get it there because they can't get it. Now they can't get it. Right. Everybody wants to do it there. But for you, I mean, we can do a dermal on your cheek, but it's kind of like what I got right here, you know, like a cool little, like, some bling right here, and that could be fun. You know, be super cool and gangster about it, you know?
Yeah. Okay, yes. That's what I'm always trying to embody.
Don't weren't you just saying that for first timers, you might try to talk them out of a face of something?
Yeah, but there's no helping me.
Kind of dermal, like, but yeah, the dermal isn't permanent. It
And I have all these freckles, so it would blend in.
It would accent your freckles.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, or we can start simple. We could just do some cool earlobes, just some cool ear stuff, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Is a good first time thing.
It is, but he just seems like he's like really like hardcore and dedicated. So I'm just like, hey, let's just go all out, man. Let's just
I want to dive into the pool. I'm not
right. You're not tipping your toes and you're going all the way in.
Let's get serious. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but for first tattoos, I mean, we always recommend for people to get, you know, something small, but something that you're, you know, that is meaningful, that you're not going to regret later on in life. You know, but something small so that you know what it feels like to even get a tattoo. Cause sometimes for some people it's like, oh, that's it. And then for others, it was like, oh my gosh, that was excruciatingly painful. So, you know, the sensation of getting a tattoo is different for everybody. So for first timers, we usually recommend getting something kind of small.
Yeah.
We get folks that are ambitious and want to get like a full, like side, like rib piece or something. And we're just like, hey, all about that, but how about we start small? You know?
I mean, I'm down. Whatever you guys think is wise, I'm just going to sign off and I will do it.
Are you sure?
Because no,
that
I'm
could
not
be
sure.
Anything. I'm like, that's kind of dangerous.
I feel like ethically, Jackie's not going to allow that. Just come in and say, do whatever you want to be.
No. Yeah, we get, sometimes we'll get folks that come in like, I just want to get something done. You pick. And we're just like,
artist's choice. I respect the art.
Respect
the artist. Yeah.
Right. Okay. There you go.
but that being said, people that have like a lot of tattoos, I'm sure do that every once in a while, right? When they do just like somebody's art and they say, hey, like you make a choice.
I mean, sometimes they'll come in with like a concept and then just kind of be like, hey, I want you to put your artistic spin on this. And that's really awesome for the artist because then that's, you know, an original piece that they get to create and tattoo and like, that's their work. So,
So how many tattoos and piercings do you have on your body?
Oh gosh, I don't even know. I mean, I have like a full sleeve here that's got some like a lot of work. All the work that I got on here is from much everybody here. Our shop is known for the sacred geometry kind of dot work style of work, but we do have 7 artists here and everyone does something different. So we do have someone that can do, if you come in with a concept guarantee, we have someone here that can do it. And then I have, I don't know, I have my arm done, my ribs. I have a little side piece going on the side of my leg of my wiener dog, you know. Let's see. I have a couple over here too. I got my little chihuahua right here.
Yeah.
Oh yes. I've seen many pictures of you with your chihuahua. What's their name? His, her name?
My chihuahua's name is Mijito, which means my son in Spanish. And then my wiener dog, her name is Princesa. So yes, okay. She's a little princess, but she's a chunky, sassy little princess. So
like my daughter. She's a chunky princess.
basically. Babies. Yeah.
And then I've seen like you have done the hooks.
Yes. Yeah? Oh gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Suspension. Yep.
You've done human suspension. And okay, tell me about that experience.
That's definitely a very deep ritual, or not ritual, but like more of a spiritual experience. You know, I was going through a really rough time, mental health-wise. I was going through a really rough time dealing with some stuff. And so, you know, I was offered the opportunity to go ahead and do a suspension at, you know, at Blue Lake Casino. And at first I was like, I don't know how I feel about that. That's pretty intense. I mean, I had done like the play piercing corsets on my back before, which was, you know, not a big deal because you only leave it in for a few days and you take them out. But these are like tuna hooks going through my back. Like, oh my gosh, like, can I do this? And it actually was not scary. I was like prepared. I like, you know, really mentally prepared myself. I made sure that I, you know, hydrated and just was ready to do this. And once the hooks went in and once I went up, I mean, I was just in my own space and really, again, my intention out of it, what did I want to get out of it? Like, it was just like a big release of, you know, all the stuff, all the negative stuff that I was going through and that was eating me up and everything like that. I was just letting it go and swinging around. It was just amazing. And I always said, if I could have any superpower, I wish I could like fly. So having that feeling of being able to like swing around and fly around a bit was just amazing too. And I was up there for like 35 minutes too. Some people go up there for like 5 or 10 minutes, and I was up there for like 35 minutes. Yeah.
and the stretching of it, like, or, you know, the pull, the weight of being on those hooks, like, it's not that doesn't hurt.
No, it doesn't. It's not too bad at first. You know, you get used to it after a while, but then honestly, like, that doesn't even faze you. It's just all about the experience, and then you're just in your own world. So. Yeah. It's just, but, and then the afterwards, when those come out, it's a little different. Cause I mean,
you're gnarly. Yeah.
It's a little gnarly, but then at the same time, you're just like, you get this like natural body high from that experience. It's just, you're in this euphoric state, and it's just like, wow. And then there's definitely like a lot of decompression that needs to happen after that. And then, yeah, but it's honestly, I've done it twice, and it's just very, very amazing experience, and I'm so glad that I've done that, and I got so many great things out of that experience as well. So
for people who don't know, I just want to like describe it. It's like they're these like quarter inch thick, you know, and they're shaped
like fish hooks.
They are tuna hooks. Okay. And they go through like, you know, the top of your back, like how many, four or six, how many?
There's like, like basically four across the top of your back. But
okay.
You
four
can
across
have
the top.
Yep.
And then people, you know, and then you are lifted and, you know, you can swing around. There was a time when I used to work for the North Coast Journal where we did a story on human suspension, and we put an image of it on the cover, and it was kind of the community was jarred, I will say, like the moms within their in the supermarket were just a little like, oh no.
There's that stigma again, you know, and it's different. However you know, in other cultures, I mean, that's part of their culture, that's part of their spiritual ritual experience. And so, you know, it was actually Fakir Musafar, who's basically like the godfather of the piercing industry, you know. He is the one that actually brought this spiritual experience to the United States, and there's just so much if you just look him up, he is amazing. And you know, there's a story of him suspending himself in his mom's wine cellar, you know, just by himself. And, you know, he grew up with a very religious family, and, you know, he saw this and then wanted to try it himself. And, you know, he had this out of body experience, and then shared that experience with others. And, you know, and it's just, it's amazing. And that's definitely what I got out of the experience as well. Not everyone understands that part of it, and that's fine. You know, but there is a positive, great, like, you know, spiritual kind of out-of-body experience that one does go through doing suspension.
You mentioned you've done it two times. Would you do it again?
Oh, totally. Yeah, in a heartbeat. Yeah.
Okay.
I would love to do a suspension in the Redwoods. I think that would be amazing. I have been wanting to do that. It was Ben Reagans who used to do the suspension out here. He is no longer living here, so actually there is nobody that's actually trained or qualified to do that up here, to my knowledge. However, if the opportunity did come up, I would totally do it in a heartbeat in the Redwoods. Oh my gosh.
I feel like you get one of those, you get like an aerial silks rig, and you could mm-hmm. probably just set that up out there, and it would, all right, let's work on this. Let's have this be,
too?
Yeah,
oh,
I'm
God.
In.
Let's, are you going to do it, Andrew? Yeah.
Let's have this be a pandemic goal. Like, what else have we got to do?
I'm sure it can be done very safely and in a super.
Oh, well, especially if it's outdoors. Yeah, it's very distance, so. You know.
Boom. Yeah. So it's, yeah.
Yeah.
Distances.
Exactly.
Well, Jackie, we just have a few minutes left here, so we just want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to Zoom with us.
Thanks for having me. This is like really, and again, this is awesome that you guys are doing this, and it's great to hear what we're all going through, but it's great to hear what other businesses are going through, because, you know, I gotta say, like, I was worried. I'm like, am I gonna have to be like these other businesses that have been around forever that have to shut their doors? And, you know, like, we're all like thriving and trying to survive and get through this as a community. And like, you know, you guys being able to share that, use your platform to share everyone's stories is just amazing. So
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Aww, We're doing stuff too, Andrew.
I know. Yeah. I know. You guys are doing it too. Yeah.
Is there anything else that you want to say? I guess you kind of just said it, but any last message you want to put out?
Hey, come check us out. We are doing things by appointment only. Things are a little different. Go on our Facebook or Instagram. We have updated work on there, and we can't do portfolios in person anymore. It all has to be through digital means. So, look at our stuff, shoot us an email, questions, concerns, hit us up. We're here. Yes, it takes a little bit longer to accommodate appointments, but hey, we're working through it as best as we can. We're all doing the best we can, with what we got. So, yeah.
Jackie Silva, Senga Tattoo, yes. Thank you so much. And
thank you.
Have a good day at Pearson.
Thanks. Have a great day, guys.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Okay, that's it. I clearly have a piercing appointment to make with Jackie. Thank you for pushing me into that, Steph. You're a real saint and a good colleague.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah, I'm definitely all about encouraging you to do anything that will inflict pain onto your body.
Thank you. Yes, I inflict pain on you weekly, therefore, to return
into
the favor.
Into my ear holes, you with your shrill, shrill voice. I'm just kidding. I love you. Can't wait to do this again next week.
Anyway, I'm feeling optimistic this week. Everything's going to be great. Wear a mask. Be safe. Buy a puppy.
And maybe go check out Sangha Tattoo.
Yeah, and bring in your Sharky's tokens, and maybe they'll redeem them or honor them.
Okay, now. They're going to be really mad about that.
All these people are going to come in. Bye. All right. Later, all. I could train right off the rail. That booty could save the whale.